Before we get into the news of the day, I want to let people know about Giving Day, which is coming up, and it is sponsored every year by the Southern New Mexico Community Foundation in coordination with other foundations that help serve nonprofits. This year, there's one in Silver City that is the big co-sponsor, but it is nonprofit organizations throughout Southern New Mexico. Giving Day is going to be on April 24th, but really it will be a week-long event starting on April 13th. KTAL will be participating this year for the second year, and we were one of the first 800 to sign up for this. I think they've got something like 100, well, I know they have more than 100 nonprofits who are participating. And because we were one of the first 80, we will qualify for up to $500 in matching funds. And we are always on the lookout for matching funds. Yes. We kind of determine when we do and don't do our fundraisers based on when we have opportunities for matching funds. And,
yeah,
and we've got
that
another
obviously
one
means
coming up.
If you give us money at that moment, your money is doubled. You know, so, you're whatever you can contribute, even if it's small, you're actually contributing twice that.
That's right. And this will be an entirely online fundraiser. And I'll give people our homepage. It isn't finished yet. We're still working on it, but you will certainly have it done. And you can go take a look at what we have thus far. It is www.southernnewmexicogivingday.org. And then search for KTAL-LP, and that will take you to our page. Once again, that is April 13th through the 24th, and our thanks to the folks at the Southern New Mexico Community Foundation who continue to support us and other nonprofits, not only here in Las Cruces, but throughout Southern New Mexico, who are doing great things.
Yeah, it was really, I mean, it's not hot news, but it was, I mean, I knew little about the Community Foundation until, you know, we were getting a grant, but we went to that luncheon.
Right.
And it was really, I mean, two things about that luncheon stand out to me, maybe more if I think about it, but one is it was not a fancy lunch. You know, you think about some foundation.
Right. Yeah, no.
And I'm thinking, yeah. It just doesn't fit with the mission, you know, to have a, you know, white tablecloths and a fancy, you know, caterer and whatever. And boy, they did not. I mean, they had a couple of sandwiches to go from somewhere.
Very informal.
Chocolate chip cookies, but it was, you know, they were low budget, and I honor that.
Oh, and you know, a good thing for me because I am not afraid to be the most underdressed person in the room, especially in the summertime in Las Cruces. And, you know, I'm showing up in shorts and a T-shirt, so, you know, if it's a fancy deal.
I'm a noted fashion player.
Yeah, well, that's right. That's right.
But the other thing about it was the range of other folks that they...
Oh, yes.
They had contributed to, and I'm forgetting all of them, but some of them came from other parts of the state, helped troubled kids get into art, or... You know, they're one of a local school that, you know, we think highly of.
Yeah, they're one of the ones that I didn't know about locally. Lift Your Voices, Las Cruces. Lift Your Voice, something like that, Las Cruces. And it's just basically community through singing. And
I didn't know. Yeah, that's another one.
Yeah. So, and so hats off to the Community Foundation and thanks to them because they really have been a great supporter for us here at KTAL.
Meanwhile, we will talk about a variety of issues from Iran, and I think there's a new war in Ecuador, too, since the Iran war
started.
I hadn't
heard about that. Yeah, how are things going in Venezuela? I guess we're done with that. It's like yesterday's news, and that'll certainly resolve itself and all work out great.
Yeah, right. Perfectly.
Yeah. Well, we got the oil, so, you know.
The Ecuador one is... Number one, it's not a war as such, and number two, it has at least the ostensible. It's, you know, it's a cooperation of the Ecuadorian government and the DEA and
Lord so they're going after cartels.
After cartels,
yeah,
so
no
it's not
with
a
that.
Real.
Yeah.
We're not in a war with Ecuador, but the Iran. Well, we were going to talk about the election first, but
well, go ahead. We're on Iran. That's fine.
Yeah, It's just horrible in so many ways, and as with everything lately, you know, stupid, and you almost don't know where to start. I will say I reached out to some Kuwaiti friends, one of whom spends more time in Iran, but happens to be back in Kuwait because his mother's ill. Well, they're miserable about it, but can't do, you know, hate what's going on, but what can we do?
Yeah, right, right.
Which is sort of how we feel, but go ahead.
Well, I was going to say very, very much mixed feelings. Certainly, if this were taking out Khomeini, there were two leaders that their names are almost exactly alike, but they're
Khomeini and Khamenei.
Thank you. Yeah, that's right. Anyway, taking out the supreme leader who was, nobody sheds a tear. On the other hand, he was 80 years old and had cancer. Now he's a martyr. We could have let him, you know, wait another couple years, let him die of cancer. But the point I want to make, and this is to me the most galling thing, is to these daily press conferences with Pete Hegseth, when he gets up there and he says, Donald Trump, and I apologize to Minerva, this is what he said, Donald Trump, other presidents wanted to do this. Donald Trump was the first president to have the balls to do it.
Yep.
Okay. Well, does that mean that George Bush had the balls to go into Iraq? And was that a good idea? Does that mean that LBJ had the balls to go into Vietnam? And was that a good idea? Is that how we're making war and based on testosterone? Based on who's
that's
got
the new
biggest
policy.
Okay, that bothers
me. We're doing away with diversity and respecting women.
Oh, well, yeah. That's yesterday's news.
That's
but no, you're right. That fits hand in glove. It does. But just the side-by-side comparison where he is up there with the general. He's up there with his suit and his slick back hair looking like a Fox News guy. And the general's up there in his uniform and his medals looking like a general and talking like a general. And he's talking like a Fox News guy. And so he's up there. So the general saying at 0900, we conducted this mission. We lost these troops. We are sympathy to the families. These are our goals. These are our objectives. These are the challenges that we're facing. He's up there saying, we got the balls. And it's just, I don't know. My reaction to it is so visceral.
Glad I didn't see it.
Yeah. Well, but
I haven't looked at that.
But that's certainly minor compared to I guess the biggest issue to me is the complete ineptitude and absence of Congress. And we were talking about this at Pickleball the other day, and the other guys were saying, well, it's been like that for a long time, and not like this.
No.
Not where, I guess 2 weeks later they're going to vote on a war powers resolution after, 2 weeks after the war is going, and it might put a time restriction on how long it's going to take.
It might.
It might. And well, it might. And even if it does, it might pass.
The law already has a restriction.
Right. No, that's the point. They don't need to do any of that. All they need to do is enforce what. But
they won't.
They won't.
You mentioned mixed feeling. Drawing a blank on his first name, but Friedman, who's call him now
Thomas Friedman.
Thomas Friedman.
Yeah,
been somebody I've read about the Middle East for like decades.
Yeah.
And his column the other day started out by saying, here are my four major thoughts right now. They might be completely different tomorrow.
Yeah.
And anything could happen at this point, and so could its opposite.
Yes.
And he starts out by saying, having no tears for loss of that regime if it goes.
It's
been bad. It's killed its own people, like we're now doing with ICE, but,
on a whole different scale.
Yes, admittedly. But, it's at this point, it's so uncertain what will happen. I mean, some of the countries that we or somebody else has gone in and chopped off the head, essentially, very few have gone straight to a good democracy.
Right.
More often, and it's possible, The Persians are only, I think, 70 or 75% of the Iranians. And there are Kurds and, you know, other groups, you know, I've never heard of before.
Right.
Who, you know, are the equivalent of Azerbaijanis, you know, ethnically, but in Iran. There are a whole lot of people that might like to separate out if they get the chance.
Oh, absolutely.
And have neighboring countries who would welcome, you know, a bit more land than their ethnic brothers.
But, yeah, we got a caller. I'll just make this point because I know Minerva has to clear them and all that. But, I lose my train of thought so easily. What was the last point that you just made?
Oh, the ethnic groups may split off, and there may be, you know, there might be unending violence, or the country might fragment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The point I was going to make is I remember reading George Tenet's book. He was the CIA director when we went into Afghanistan.
Yes.
And the point he made was by the time boots landed on the ground, the Taliban had fled up into the mountains. And the point is taking over the country, getting rid of the leader is easy. We have done that time and time and time again. It's, you know, Colin Powell's old pottery barn rule.
Right.
Which J.D. Vance just came out. No, it was, I guess, Lindsey Graham came out and said, oh, that's baloney. I don't believe that. Huh. So I guess we can break everything and just go around the world and destroy countries and walk away and leave them in ruins.
It's just, I mean, a few things to say about that get taken for. I mean, it's against the law. It's against our law. It's certainly against international law. It's comical in terms of the explanations they've given for it. They're concerned about, Iran was about to have nuclear weapons and be able to. Okay, well, first of all, Mr. Trump cares so much about that when he took office initially, the first thing he did almost was to get us out of the deal that the previous administration had cut, which all the international authorities and everybody else in the world, except Mr. Trump and his administration, said was working great. The inspections were the most extensive ever anywhere under which Iran was, you know, going to stall on developing nuclear. He got us out of that. And then about 9 months ago, he proclaimed that their nuclear development facilities were completely and totally obliterated, I think was his phrase.
And when somebody pushed back against that and said, no, you know, the intelligence tells us that they still have, you know, supplies and they still could. He said, oh, that's haters and that's fake media. Yeah. And that's. So, yeah, but, I mean, if you're looking for consistency and a lack of hypocrisy.
The other thing they were terribly inconsistent about that's come out is Rubio told Congress that, we did this because we needed to do a preemptive strike because we knew Israel was going to do a strike and then Iran would hit us everywhere. Yeah. So we wanted to take out their ability to do that. But somebody mentioned that to Trump and he said, no, they didn't start anything.
Well, of course. I mean, the obvious implication of that is Israel took us to war, that Israel is the one making the decision on when the United States goes to war.
As has often happened with both parties, you know, the political parties, you know, people accuse me of being a Democrat because I don't care for Mr. Trump, and a lot of Republicans don't either, but I don't, the way that various leaders have let themselves be led around by Israel or by the big funder of everybody, including some of our favorite congresspeople.
Yeah.
It's problematic. Anyway, the caller, by the way, was just leaving a message.
Ah, come on. Join the conversation.
He never does. I think he works at this hour and listens despite... Yeah, but it's from a friend of ours named Greg, and he mentions that Ecuador, the operation in Ecuador, is part of the peace board that Donald Trump set up. So other members will do what he wants. Not that the operation was, but that Ecuador is part of the peace board. has joined it.
And, you know, I'm hearing about this for the first time. So if they're going in with Ecuador and helping them root out drug cartels, that's a good thing.
You know, I agree, but the one thing that never gets said is how obscene it is that a big fat country with more money and more of everything than anybody else has so many citizens that are so unhappy with their lives that they're addicted to these substances.
Yeah.
And so the solution isn't to try to do something about that. The solution is to kill anybody who is poor.
Right.
And you know, not that they're, I'm not trying to defend the cartels or say that the cartel leaders are poor or anything else. You know, they are evil operations.
Right.
I don't like to use the word evil, but yeah, they are certainly not good operations.
They are
somebody
greedy.
Ought to point out. They're greedy, but why are we so greedy?
Oh, well.
And so.
But why are we so needy? Is my point. And I've written. Anyway, to say fentanyl is a weapon of mass destruction, to compare it to what happens when you're living in your house and poison rains down on you, to say that's the same thing as intentionally going out in the street, looking everywhere you can to find a dealer, doing anything you can to get the drugs. To say those are the same things, that the people are equally culpable in what happens to them next, is crazy.
Yeah.
And this is coming from Republicans who are talking to us all the time about accountability and responsibility and taking. And now all of a sudden, you know, these are poor, innocent victims who have no control over the situation. And don't get me wrong. I have sympathy. I understand that addiction is hell. But it is not the same thing as weapons of mass destruction as what happened to the people living in Kosovo or whatever that was.
Right.
You know, and these ridiculous comparisons to say that drug runners are now terrorists. They're drug dealers.
No, they're drug dealers.
We've been dealing with drug dealers for a long time.
They're servicing a need that we seem to have.
Well, we clearly have.
And making money at it. You know.
And I would argue it's not so, well, we certainly have all of the weaknesses that you suggest, but we also have money. There are people who have weaknesses all over the world. They just don't have money. And so I think our addiction stems from the fact, not that we're weaker, that we have, you know, more problems. It's just, we have more money.
A thought is sort of forming in my mind, but I wonder if you could, given the fact that what these people are doing is basically taking advantage of the drug addiction people have.
Sure.
Could you say that Donald Trump and his administration are terrorists because they help exacerbate that problem by cutting people's medical care and that sort of thing, and making them more desperate?
Sure. I mean, once words lose their meaning, why not? It's kind of like once we started the war on drugs, then, okay, now we got a war on poverty, and we've got a war on this and a war on that, and the word completely loses its meaning. So, you know.
Somebody had posted something about the Iran war, and a Trump supporter commented, this is on Facebook, of course, a dopey thing, but I don't believe in Facebook, but I certainly use it.
I don't.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Dale doesn't either. But somebody
Somebody
posted something complaining about the Iran war and said, basically saying that it's adding to gas prices.
Sure.
And so a Trump supporter put in, but they're still not as high as under the previous administration. So I put in, my comment was, yeah, they got higher in the previous administration because a dictator started a stupid war. And they got higher again because a dictator started a stupid war. That happens.
Previous meaning of
our gas prices went up all prices went up some when Putin went into
Ukraine. Gotcha. Yeah.
And now they're going up again because our wonderful president has basically got the.
I was thinking, what more did Joe Biden start?
Straits closed.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No. That's a good point. I guess we're close to the half hour, but I guess I don't want to start talking about the elections. I want to save that till
take a short break and then start talking about it. We should say that it's National Women's.
Oh yeah, it is National
Women's Month.
It is,
and the
is it a whole month?
I think
they only get a day.
I thought it was a month. I'll bet you a beer. It's a month. Just because I know. I did a promo for the Mad Hatter Gallery, which has a lot of women.
It does, yeah.
Doing an exhibit, and then they're going to combine. I think the opening's Friday at 5 to 8.
5 to 8 is correct. And I'm glad you brought that up. I can't share any of the details yet because we don't have them. But we are planning to do a live remote from the Mad Hatter Gallery during Loki's show, Without Borders. He may be hearing about it for the first time. I hope not.
I'm sure he's aware of it.
We're in the process of putting that together and looking forward to it. It's not an event that we've really paid or that I paid a lot of attention to in the past, and
Well, it'll be fun to do a live remote, and it'll be fun for listeners, I think, because you'll get to talk to some interesting people that we're not necessarily hearing from most times during our evening shows.
Yeah, no, like I said, I'm going to be doing the interviews, and I'm looking forward to it.
And Mad Hatter Gallery is on Main, a few doors. I'm trying to say where it is, but
it's like a block away from City Hall, I think. The next block
more than
down
that,
from,
it's
a, there's a block
it's,
and a two
I think
blocks
it's
down
just,
from City Hall.
I think it's like half.
Or from the Moose Lodge.
I think it's half a block south of Las Cruces Avenue.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And it's back in there. I forget the exact address. Somebody will probably remind me.
It's towards the tail end of the farmer's market. I think it's in the last block of the farmer's market.
No, it's not the last block.
Is there one more after that?
Believe me, I spent a lot of time at the farmer's market.
Oh, that's right, because we used to go all the way down to Las Cruces. That's right. That's because where we had
the farmer's market goes to the roundabout.
Right. You're right.
Basically.
It does, yeah.
And at least used to have dogs and cats at that far end.
Yeah, that's right.
For acquisition or adoption. But in any case, we're going to take a short break and we'll be back. This is Speak Up Las Cruces on KTAL LP. And we will talk further about the news of the day, including the election in Texas and North Carolina and sort of Arkansas yesterday.
Yeah.
And other events, and then have some guests after 9 o'clock.
You're listening to KTALLP. We're a community radio station broadcasting at 101.5 FM in Las Cruces, New Mexico. We also broadcast over the internet from our website at lccommunityradio.org, and you can find us on many of the radio apps or ask for us on any of the smart speakers. The station is owned and operated by Las Cruces Community Radio. The opinions you hear during our programs reflect the views of the hosts and any guests they might have, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of Las Cruces Community Radio or its board of directors. If you'd like to respond to any on-air content you hear, go to our website and click the Contact Us tab.
You are listening to KTAL LP 101.5 FM, Las Cruces, New Mexico.
Las Cruces, baby, Las Cruces.
Take a few moments to wonder about the world. Each week on Cultural Ponderings, S.A. Peterson wonders about the nature, odd elements, cultural implications, and quips on a single topic. Our world is odd indeed. Listen in. You will be surprised what you hear in under 3 minutes. Cultural Ponderings airs only on KTEL LP every Sunday. Tune in after the last story in The Moth, just about 1:52 p.m. 101.5 FM or stream on lccommunityradio.org.
The Academy of Learning and Retirement's March presentations will focus on Billy the Kid, the ever-changing story. Jim Smith, history educator and author of four books, will present the four-part series on March 3rd through the 11th at 10:30 a.m. at the Doniana Community College at 2800 Sonoma Ranch Boulevard. Online participation is also available at tinyurl.com/ALR-REG.
Las Cruces Rocks showcases the best and upcoming talent in the Las Cruces, El Paso, and Mesilla Valley area rock and alternative scene. Each week brings a mix of music, interviews, performances, and updates on shows in the area. Join us on Wednesdays during the afternoon rush from 5 to 6 p.m. to get your fix of what rocks and cruises. Exclusively on 101.5 KTAL-LP.
Hi, I'm Tamika Hanna.
And I'm Shahid Mustafa.
And we are
Black English Vernacular on 101.5 KTAL-FM every Monday from 9:30 to 10:30 p.m.
On our show, we're going to talk about language, words, the beauty of words, the power of words, and their consequences.
Shahid, you're Black.
Welcome back to Speak Up Las Cruces with Walt Rubel and Peter Goodman. We would usually be talking to a guest now, but our guest lost his voice, so he's not here. We will be joined by a UNM professor and graduate student to talk about insects and their disappearances. I think I'm very interested in that.
And the connection to climate change.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, they're going to be doing, I should mention, the climate change. They will be the next in the Cambio Climate Change series speakers and be down here from UNM to speak Friday. I forget the exact time. Might be 5:30.
Ask him.
I'll check the time. I do have it in my notes. Yeah. And that's at the Science Museum, not at the usual site. But they'll be here at 9, and then Representative Angelica Rubio will be here at 9:30. I just got an email. I reached out when we lost our planned guest. I reached out, of course, to Ali Skotin, our resident expert on Iran. He's half Iranian by birth, and he also is working a lot for companies and nonprofits and whoever it is dealing with Iran. So I reached out to him and asked him, any chance you can come join us tomorrow morning, which was today. And his response was basically that he would, but he's unavailable in the immediate future because he's working on these problems 24/7.
Yeah, I imagine.
Right now.
Yeah. So hopefully down the road ways when this settles down a little bit, we'll be able to have him on then.
Yeah, I'm sure in a week or two. But there were some elections yesterday, and a couple of them were interesting. In our neighboring state of Texas.
Yeah, that was the big one.
Yeah, that's the big one, partly because that was the most contested. But North Carolina is also key and interesting.
I didn't follow that one as much.
Well, no, of course, it's not as near, and it wasn't contested.
How is a non-contested election interesting?
Couple of things. First of all, because it sets up a key race, even though it was uncontested, it sets up a race between Governor Roy Cooper, that most people heard of when he was kind of considered for VP nomination. But he's running for senator. He's been their governor a long time. He's a Democrat. Yeah, I hadn't really thought about it, but looking at the pictures of him and his opponent today, I thought his central casting could do no better than Roy Cooper, if they
assuming
wanted to
all
cast
politicians are white males in their 40s. Or,
true, but a thoughtful senator.
Yeah.
Yeah, aside from ethnicity, but a thoughtful, dignified-looking senator.
Sure.
And his opponent is Michael Whatley, a former Republican National Committee chair. That's expected to be very hard-fought.
Who is vacating that seat? Is that Tillis?
Yeah, that's Tillis. Tillis. Tom Tillis' seat.
Tillis. Tom Tillis.
Tillis, yes. Yeah. Who's, now that he's not running again, said some interesting things recently.
He did, to Christy Noem. Talking about shooting her dog. I mean, yeah, if you haven't seen that, Google it.
Yeah, no, I did take a look at that. Anyway, that'll be an interesting race. It'll be critical to how the Senate looks after November.
Yeah. North Carolina is one of those purplish, in a good year for Democrats, maybe.
The only other interesting fact about it is that in the uncontested races, the turnout was like 200,000 more voters in the Democratic primary.
Yeah, I don't think you can read anything into that.
Yeah. Well,
it's, you know, it's an uncontested race. Getting people to, it shows enthusiasm, but the minority party always has more enthusiasm at this point.
Yeah, you know, are they minority in North Carolina? I guess they still are, sort of.
Sure,
but it's pretty contested. And in Texas, there were two really interesting races.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Really hard contested.
Yeah, Republican and Democrat both.
Both of them. James Tallarico, state legislator, young guy, very Christian. Won the Democratic nomination over...
Well, you say he's very Christian. He made his chops by opposing prayer in school and the Ten Commandments and all of that.
Right, but that...
So when you just say very Christian, that really doesn't tell the whole story about him politically. He is going up against the religious right.
Well, I hadn't finished.
Okay.
But no, he's... first I ever heard of the guy was on Facebook or some, The Hill or... something online, I'm suddenly looking at this Texas state legislator opposing some overbearing bill trying to put, make all the kids say Christian prayers or whatever. And, he's this white bread white guy, clean cut. Standing up there talking about
it. So Cooper is out of central casting and Tallarico's the white bread white guy. Anyway.
Different. Cooper's got more lines in his face. But Tallarico looked, for all the world, if the sound were not on and you had no clue who he was, which I didn't, and you hear this guy talking about Jesus, very nicely, nothing, wrong about it.
Right.
But you'd have thought he might be on the other side of the issue.
Right.
And that's not just me talking. That's a key point here because... Right. What we haven't said he beat Jasmine Crockett, who is real fiery. We keep seeing her almost coming to blows with Republican witnesses who
internet
won't answer
darling.
Questions in Congress.
Yeah, internet loves her. She's an internet darling.
She's fiery. I'm not sure she might be a little to the left of Tallarico politically, but it's more style.
Oh, yeah.
He's a reach across the aisle
for
lover,
sure.
buddy.
For sure.
And she's,
So this is exactly what the moderates have been saying that the Democrats need to do. They need to give up on the, and it depends on where you're at.
Yeah.
This is Texas.
Absolutely. Texas, I wanted him to win. I love her.
That's right.
But
that's
I wanted him to win. Because I agree with the conventional wisdom for once, I think he's got a better chance to win in Texas. Now, the other, before you say what you're going to say,
go ahead.
Let's tell people about the other primary. Cornyn, John Cornyn, who's almost as old as I am. He's like 74.
And the incumbent.
Been incumbent, was seeking his fifth term, is still.
Yeah.
And... that'll go to a runoff in May, which national Republicans are appalled because they hate his opponent, Ken Payton.
Paxton,
thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, Ken Paxton, who's the attorney general in Texas, and he's most known for,
Cheating on his wife.
Well, yes, that's that too. She divorced him for biblical reasons, quote unquote. But no, even before that, what I was seeing was they almost, the legislature
impeached him.
Almost impeached him, yeah. Including, you know, with a majority of Republicans. And he probably, I'll express my opinion, he probably should be in jail for his corruption.
Yeah, right.
You know.
So this is.
So the Republicans, you know, on both sides, you had somebody that the conventional wisdom says this.
Correct.
Cornyn had been elected senator a bunch of times, said Paxton's unelectable. On the other hand, Paxton's.
The Republican.
So well, he's a sitting governor. I mean, he's a sitting attorney general. So he certainly has been elected.
Oh, yeah. And once again, this is Texas. And so the Democrats made the smart play. You and I both agree on that. The Republicans may not need to.
Yep.
The Republicans went with the extremist. And so for me, this is where you
Well,
have...
no, they haven't yet.
Oh, they haven't? Yes, you're right.
No.
You're right. Yeah, that's right. That's
and,
right.
And let's
it goes to
people,
a runoff.
Look,
and that's an important point because they spent a ton of money on this primary. In Texas, if nobody gets 50%, it goes to a runoff.
Right.
And so now Cornyn and Paxton go to the runoff. And they're going to spend a ton more money. That's going to siphon
money
out.
Talk about how vile they each other
are. Oh, yeah, they hate each other. That's going to take money away from the race in North Carolina and other races all around the country.
And it's.
But where I was going with that is it sets up the ultimate conundrum if you're on the opposite side. Do you root for Paxton thinking if he wins, then
yes,
your side
are.
Has a better chance?
Well,
that's a heck of a risk. Because if Cornyn, because Texas hasn't voted for a Dem, this let's not forget Beto O'Rourke. Beto O'Rourke was going to beat Ted Cruz, and he was going to be the first Democrat since Lloyd Benson.
Perfect example of how two-edged that is. A lot of Democrats rooted for Trump.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Be careful what you wish for.
I agree. I think particularly. I think if it had ended up, I think these two feed into each other in the sense that if the opponent is Paxton, he's tough for either of them, and they talk about how old he is and, you know, new ideas and everything else. But against a guy who's noted for his corruption and his cheating on his wife and all these other things that not everybody approves of, unless Donald Trump does it, your Tallarico's, I want to say altar boy look.
That's not going to matter for a very, very, very large percentage of Texas voters. It doesn't matter who the Democrat wins, who it is.
No.
They are never going, they have never have, never will, never going to vote for a Democrat, period.
Except you have some number of Republicans who loathe Paxton.
Some, right. Yeah. That's the question.
And so that.
But the Democrat goes in at a huge disadvantage. It would be.
Well, of course.
Of
course, the Republican has a huge. Texas hasn't elected a Democratic senator since
Lloyd Benson.
Lloyd Benson, who was the. Who
was
then became
convicted.
A vice president.
Oh, yeah. No, a candidate.
Candidate. But.
And when he convicted of corruption, I thought.
Maybe later.
Yeah, I thought so.
Not while
then.
He was there.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, I think Tallarico's choir boy appearance and manner and, you know, let's reach across the aisle, his cleanliness, facially and ethically, will play beautifully against Paxton, whereas Crockett. To a lot of people, you know, not to me.
But I understand
your
point.
To a lot of Texans, you know, Crockett and Paxton yelling at each other, they kind of, you know, I'll vote next year. They won't.
Right.
I
think that's true.
Tell Rico, and we should say, I know what I wanted to get in there. Texas has not gone with, the Republicans have not gone with, there was a third guy in the race.
Yeah, Wesley Hunt.
He got about 14%
right.
of the vote. That's why it's going to runoff.
Right.
The actual figures were basically 41% .8 versus 40.8.
Right.
Cronin or Cornyn rather, was 1 point ahead of Paxton. So
it's a close race.
It's very couldn't be much closer. Yeah. And it'll go on for three more months, and they'll yammer at each other.
And I don't think Wesley Hunt clearly – I don't think his voters clearly would favor one over the other.
I wondered about that.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, he was just kind of playing as the outsider and the third choice if you don't like either of these guys.
Gotcha, which is easy to do. And in the Democratic side, I think we should say she has not conceded.
Oh, yeah, she has. Jasmine Crockett.
Has she?
Yeah.
Okay.
There was an issue with the voting machines in Dallas County.
Yeah, essentially, Dallas County has a weird rule that caused, I don't know if they just put it in or it caused confusion.
Actually,
which
not
is,
with the voting machines. It was the voting rules, but anyway.
No, they have different sites. I mean, here, you go to if there's a primary election, you go to wherever you go, NMSU or the county building, wherever.
Anywhere
you vote
in the county, yeah.
But if you're in Dallas County, if you're a Republican, you go one place. If you're a Democrat, you go another.
Well, and that my understanding is they didn't used to do it that way.
Right.
There was a disagreement this year, and so because of that, people showed up, like you said, thinking they'd be able to vote, and they were told, no,
so
you have to go to this
lower
other
judge
place.
Extended the voting hours by two.
Right.
Then the Texas Supreme Court said no, and last I had looked, that Tallarico had 53% of the vote to 46% for her.
Yeah, he had a large enough margin that wasn't going to change it. And I that was, as far as I could tell, and I mean, we got all the TV ads living here in Las Cruces, a respectful campaign. I mean,
I never watched TV.
The ads against her were that she was unelectable. They played news people saying, well, you know, Democrats would do better if Tallarico. I mean, that's what they played. It was nothing against her character, nothing against. It was just
the
fact.
And the Republicans quietly rooted for her, not that quietly.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's what the ad said. And so I think, and there was never any vicious debate, it seemed to me never any bad blood between them. I assume Jasmine Crockett will enthusiastically support his campaign now.
I would think so.
Yeah.
We should mention she's black. I think that probably played.
Oh, sure.
You know, never got talked woman. About. But I think the fact that she's black and the fact that Texas is Texas,
but she,
added to her.
And she ran a very, her first TV ad was Donald Trump. She wasn't even in it. It was just Donald Trump talking about her.
Right.
And so if you're telling the voters, vote for me because Donald Trump really hates me, that's kind of a tough sell.
You know, every candidate gets, or where there are contested races, gets into that terrible dichotomy. You want to win the primary, which means appealing to people who believe as you do. So that ads looks great. But if you happen to succeed, you're going to end up going against somebody else in a general election, and then you have to appeal to everybody.
Yeah, that's why you always want, if possible, you always want your primaries to be civil and respectful. And
I need to step out and tell, I need to tell our producers. Actually, I'll do it shortly.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what else I was going to say about that. Oh.
Well,
I lost my train of thought.
Yeah, and then there was a race in Arkansas. I didn't look at that one at all.
Basically, you'd laugh at me if I said there's any significance to that one.
Yeah, okay.
Because basically, drawn a blank on the name and not going to take my notes out, but basically it was a state Senate race. The fellow who had been holding that wing, I think his name was, had retired to take another job, and he was a Republican, so the Democrat and the Republican fought for it, and the Democrat won. But before any Democrat gets excited about that, first of all, it changes the composition of the state house in Arkansas from 80 to 19 Republican to 80 to 20 Republican. And the other point is that Wing had won an incredibly narrow victory, the Republican, last time to get elected, and this one was incredibly close,
so it wasn't
close
like a huge swing.
It ain't like, oh, everybody's mad at Donald Trump or whatever. It was
a local thing. Listen, we are in February, March. We're in March. It seems like February still. My point is November is a long way away. I mean, we haven't even had filing day yet. So to read too much into what's happening now, especially with wars going on all over the world, with the economy here in the United States swinging wildly back and forth, and the Supreme Court has ruled on tariffs, and that is still kind of hanging out there. Trump has put his 15% in, but that can only be for, I think, 150 days, if I remember right. So I guess my point is, reading too much into an election in April as to what impact that is going to have in November is probably not a real good idea.
I do think that the way things are going, and Iran is adding to it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, as far as I can tell, something like 27% of the populace thinks it's a great idea.
Yeah.
And you know, and 49 or 53 think it isn't, and 29% haven't figured it out yet.
Well, and there are a whole lot of people who have mixed feelings, like I have mixed feelings. But I think the general gut inclination is no more wars in the Middle East. What's going to make this one different?
I mean, yeah, mixed feelings, because it might do some good.
Because the Iranian regime was horrible, and they were the leading sponsor of terrorism. That's not a lie when they say that.
Yeah. Of course, but of course, terrorism depends on
which side
you're on. That's it's a stupid word.
Well, okay, but they were the leading sponsor of that force.
They're a terrible regime. They're dictatorial, repressive. They kill an incredible number of protesters have been killed.
Right,
and if I could press a button and have them go away, I would do it.
That's why the feelings are mixed.
But they can't be that mixed, because I don't. Yeah. It's like me not liking my neighbor playing loud music. You know, I can feel that way, and I can, if I'm nasty, I could feel good if something bad happened to him. But I can't, I can't fire a weapon into his house.
Of course not.
You know, well, of course you say, of course not. But nobody's told Donald Trump that.
Yeah, I take your point. It's not an exact analogy, and I don't think we should be going to war without the consent of Congress.
No, it's pretty close.
On the other hand, I give it maybe a 10% chance of being successful.
Well, 10%.
Yeah.
Successful.
Meaning the people rise up, they vote for a new leader, a new leader comes in with joins the rest of the world.
More of the same.
A theocracy that's living in the 16th century.
As opposed to a crazy civil war.
Yeah. No, if they can get rid of the theocracy that says women can't leave the house without a scarf on and replace that with something that is of this century, then that will have been a good thing, right?
Yep.
Okay. So that's why the feelings are mixed.